We continue our learning. We are in Sanhedrin, Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah, above the final Mishnah in the Masechta. Hamisnabe b'shem Avodah Zarah. Person who says nevuah in the name of an idol, the Omer Kach Amra Avodah Zarah. This is what the Avodah Zarah told me, and I'm sharing it with you. Afilu kiven es ha-halacha. Even if this was to say a particular mitzvah, which is actually correct, letame es ha-tame, to say something that ritually impure is in, that actually is impure, to say that it's impure. Lutaras HaToro, this item, this food is Torah. That's what the Avodah Zarah told me. Either way, a person is in violation of being misnabi b'shem Avodah Zarah based on the pasuk Dvarim Yurches that says Vashi daber b'shem Elohim Achirim umeis hanavi ahu. He's going to he receives chenek for this nevuah. Even though it may be true what he's saying, because it's b'shem Avodah Zarah, he's liable to the punishment of chenek. Habale Shazish, which we also said, a person who has relations with an Eish Shazish, the married woman, after she's in a suah, we say generally after entering the chuppah, the misa is going to be chenek, as opposed to when she's in arusa where the misa is stila. But when after kiddushin only, it's more severe. So at what point do we consider an Eish Shazish for this purpose? Says the Mishnah, Kevan shenichnasa l'rushos habal anisuin af al pishalo nevala. If she's already in Eshesis, once she's entered the domain of the husband for Nisuin, even though they didn't have relations yet, she's still considered Nisuin. This doesn't even mean entering the Chuppah necessarily. This could be that she's an Arusa. She had Kiddushin already, and now the father, because when the girl was an Arusa, generally she remained living in her father's house, and for Nisuin she'd go to the husband's house. So the father sends her with Shlichim, with messengers along on the way to the husband's house. At that moment, she's even baderech. She has the status of an nesuah at that point, so that for the purpose of its halacha, that if she has an affair with someone now, she's considered a nesuah, and the punishment is going to be chenek and not skila. So that's what the Mishnah says. L'rushus kevin shenich habal eishes ish kevin shenich nesa l'rushus habal l'nesuin. Once the arusa enters the domain of the husband for nesuin, even if she's given over to the shluchim of the baal, the father gives her over to the agents of the husband. Afal pishal onivala habaleha. So this is where not the father, the father brings her to the agents of the husband. Habaleha reza bechenek. As a regular Eish Shazish, because she's already left the rishus of her father and no longer has the status of an Arah HaMorasa, because she's in the hands of the agents of the husband. Of course, if she entered the chuppah already, and certainly Kavachom, if she had Bir Rishona, certainly she would be considered an Eish Shazish at that point as well. And the punishment would be chenek. Vizomime bas kohen uvoala. I mentioned this before. The Zomim Bas Kohen, a Bas Kohen who is Mizana, we said is Chayv Sreif, as the Pasuk says, Ba'ishti Sareif. But the Boel, the man, is not Chayv Sreif. He is going to get Chenek as well, and we'll explain why in a moment. And not only that, the Zomim Bas Kohen, those who become Edim Zomim, who claim that a Bas Kohen Nesua had an affair, but they're lying. They were approved Zomim. What punishment do they get? They also don't get Sreif. They're going to get Chenek. As the Mishnah says, "Shakol haZomimin makdimin laosam." He said, generally speaking, Edim Zomimin, you give them kvasisim lo kasha zaman lasos lochiv. Whatever punishment they want to give, there they wanted to kill someone. Let's say, so they want this person to be killed, and they say, "Oh, Reuven killed Shimon, and Reuven therefore should be chayiv saiv shahayiv hereg. He should be headed. Beishin should behead him." So, what person they get the same punishment? This is an exception, even though they wanted this woman to have a sreifa. Nonetheless, they're going to receive chenek. So they're the exception. Chutz mizomame bas kohen and the boel boala, that even though the edim wanted to be chayv har sreifa, she doesn't get. They don't get sreifa. Where do we learn this from? So the pasuk says regarding a bas kohen, es aviha imichaleles ba'esh tisareif. Barish Tisarev means she. It's in Lashon Nekeva. She gets Reifa. That implies that the Boel, the man, doesn't get Reifa. How do I know Edim Zomimin aren't going to get that punishment? It says, Kasher Zamam Lasos La'achiv. And we learn La'achiv of Alo La'achoso, which means for a man. If the Abad, for the La'achoso, his sister, literally, meaning if it's a woman, it's a Bas Kohen, it was Mizaneh, that they don't give Kasher Zamam. It's only Kasher Zamam Lasos La'achiv. And not la'achoso. We begin Maseches Makos. We can see very well why some claim that Makos is really part of Sanhedrin, because the next Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Makos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph, says, Ketzado Edim Nasim Zomim. How exactly the Edim comes Zomim? It seems to be a continuation. And in fact, we'll even show how certain there are certain exceptions to the rule of Kasher Zoma. So you have Edim who became Zomim, and two Edim testified about something. And the two other Edim come into court and said, you could not have testified about that. They don't speak about the testimony. There's two aidens, next two aidens come in and say, I don't know about the testimony, but there's no way you could have known that testimony because you with us at that time and in this place. So how do aidens become zomim? Now the Gemara says there's actually not really what the Mishnah's answers. The Mishnah asks, how do aidens become zomim? What we're really going to show is aidens generally become zomim. This is an exception to that rule. Let's say two Edom come into court and say, you know, this particular man, Mr. Cohen, Mr. Katz, whatever it is, who, you know, we claim is a real a qualified Cohen, we want to let you know that he's a Ben Gerusha. He's really the son of a divorcee. His mother married, was a divorced woman who married a Cohen. So yes, his father's a Cohen, but he's a Ben Gerusha, and therefore he has the status of a Challah. He's not a kosher Kohen. Is the status now of only of a Yisrael? He can't do the Avoda, can't do the Duchening. Or he's a Ben Chalutza, or which we treat me the Rabbanan like a Ben Grusha, meaning his mother had Chalitza, his mother from her brother-in-law, and therefore she's treated like a Grusha and should not be marrying a Kohen, and therefore this person we're testifying about is not a valid Kohen. He is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. He's disqualified from Kuhuna, he has the status of a Cholol, whether Doraisa because of Ben Grusha or Darabanim Ben Chalutza. So how and what happened? Now these Edim become Edim Zomim. So what do they want to do? They wanted to make this person into a Cholol. So can they, what do we do now? What's the Kasha Zamam? We make him into a Cholol? Let them into a Cholol? Let's say even Luyasur, these Edim were Kohanim. Would we make them into chalolim because that's what they want to do to their friend? The answer is no. Einor Mimeya says they're Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza Tachtav. We don't do that. And even if they're Kohanim to say that they are chalolim, why not? Because the pasuk says Vasisim Lo Kasher Zamam Lasos Lo Achiv, and we're focused on the word Lo Vasisim Lo. Lo velo lezaro, only for him and not for his children, which means the kasher zaman punishment due to the edim zomen as they want to do to their friend only applies to them, should not apply to their children. Once you make them into a chalal, their children that follow are going to be chalalim. Therefore, we can't make them to chalalim. And if you'll say no, just make them into chalalim and not their children, well, then that's not kasher zama. Because what they wanted to do to this person was make him a chalal, and therefore the future generations be chalalim as well. So what do we do then for these edim zomim? Ela loke arbarim. Since we can't fulfill the mitzvah of hazam in the general way, they're going to get malkos. They're going to get 39 lashes. In fact, that's the topic of the mesechta. Malkos is the fact that Malkos, what we call it, Malkos as well. We're going to get 39 lashes. The Torah says, Arba'im Ya'kenu Le'Yosef. The Arj Rasha is that it means up to the number 40, which is 39. So you get 39 lashes for, after all, they did violate Lo Sana Barachachaka. They did say something that was a lie. So they're going to get Malkos for that. Then the Mishnah says, Me'idim anu bish plonish to chayv liglos. Let's say they testify about this person, not that he killed Bemezid and should be chayv herig. If they did that, then they're chayv herig too, but as Edim Zoman. But they testify this person killed Beshogeg and is chayv to go to Golos. Einomrim yigle ze tachtav. We don't say the kasher zomam that this person should go into Golos in his place. Eloloke arboim. Rather, he's going to get. He's going to get 39 lashes again because we cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kasher Zaman. Why not? Because regarding a Roteach B'Shogeg, the Pasuk says in Devarim Yotes, Hu Yonus Elachas Ha'orim Ha'ele, this person, he shall run to one of those cities. Hu Yonus, that teaches us, he runs away, but Velo Zomim Av, but the Zomim don't run away. Now, there's a complicated drasha the Gemara has from where we learn that Malkos becomes the default in this case. But we'll just summarize it in the following way. It seems that there's an extra phrase in the Pasuk in Devarim Chafei in Parshas Kiseitze, where it says Vahaya in bin Hakos Harasha. So there we assume that what the Rasha we're talking about is Hazama. And if you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Kasher Zamam, so then Vahaya in bin Hakos Harasha, vihipilo hashofet vihikolufanov. So what should we do? We should give him Malkos. That's where we assume that that's possible in a very complicated way. Very convoluted way, we understand that those psukim are referring to Edom Zomimin, and therefore, if we can't fulfill the mitzvah of Hakasha Zomam, the Pilu Hashafed Yikolafanov, so then we give him Malkos. Then the Mishnah says, Me'idim Anu Bish Ploni Shegerash Ishto, V'lonasa L'Ksuva. So this is complicated. You have two Edom who say this man divorced his wife on this particular day, and he didn't give her the Ksuva. So how much, and they become Zomimin, which means this person never divorced his wife. So they wanted to make him pay the ksuva. What's the ksuva? Let's assume it's the regular ksuva, 200 zuz. So would we say that they should pay 200 zuz because they wanted to pay him the ksuva? No. There's a very good likelihood that he may divorce her maybe even tomorrow, today, or he may die, and then he would have to pay that money anyway. So they wanted to make him pay 200 zuz, and what? You're going to tell me, but he didn't divorce his wife, and therefore the Edom Zomim would have to pay 200 zuz? What do you mean? The husband may end up paying 200 zuz today, tomorrow or the next day if he ends up divorcing his wife or ends up dying. So this is money that we have to pay out of pocket anyway. So they didn't make him pay money that he necessarily would not have had to pay. It's possible he wouldn't have to pay. Maybe his wife will predecease him. But we don't know that. It's possible he would have to pay the money anyway. So how do we evaluate this for Kasher Zamam purposes? Generally speaking, let's say Edim came in and said that Reuven owes Shimon $100 and he really doesn't. Okay, that's easy. It's $100 that Edim Zamam have to pay. So the Mishnah explains how we do this. Omdin, we evaluate. Kama adam rotze litein b'ksuvasa shelzo. How much a random person from the marketplace would be willing to pay now to the woman for the value of her ksuva on the condition, of course, shemnes almana onis garsha, he would get the ksuva. So let's think about this for a second. Someone wants to buy a woman's ksuva. So is it a worthwhile investment? You're not, the ksuva is 200 zuz. What would you pay for 200 zuz ksuva? Well, you're not necessarily going to get the 200 zuz ksuva. You would get it if you would pay the woman for a ksuva. You would get it only under the circumstances where she was divorced or widowed. But if let's say she predeceases the husband, you'll never get that ksuva at all. So what would be worth paying? So that's what we'll discuss in a moment. Vimesa, but if the woman, of course, dies, Yirashen Abala, the husband will get it and you will not get it. He'll lose all of that money. How much would that be? So let's assume like this. Let's assume a person would be willing to pay 50 zuz for the potential of getting 200 zuz. So then the Mishnah is teaching us that, at least according to one opinion, that what do we pay? What do the Edom Zomim pay? They pay the difference. The difference, which is 150 zuz, which is really what the husband would be willing, let's say, to pay for that. The woman would be willing to pay 50, let's say. He'd be willing to pay for that ksuva, let's say, 150. No, rather, the husband also would be willing to pay that 50. The husband, anyone from the shuk would be willing to pay $50 to potentially get that ksuva. Well, the husband also be willing to pay $50 to potentially get the ksuva. What do you mean get the ksuva? Not have to pay the ksuva if he divorces his wife or he predeceases her. So it's worth it for him to pay that kind of money too. So if that's the case, he'd be willing to pay that money in order to get the ksuva for himself. So then we subtract that from the full amount of the ksuva, which is 150. That's the value that we assume that the Edom Zomimin were interested in making the husband lose. Some say it's they actually have to pay the 50 zuz and not 150, but the simple understanding is that because the husband, you'll say, hold on, the Edom Zomim shouldn't have to pay anything. Why? Because the husband eventually may pay out the ksuva anyway. That may be true, but he may actually not have to pay the ksuba. So maybe they wanted to make him lose the whole 200. So how do we evaluate this? So the answer is, we say, what is the value of the ksuba itself? The value of the ksuba that some of the shuk would want to pay from the marketplace, or the husband want to pay the woman. So that in circumstances where she would be divorced or she becomes a widow, the woman would not get that money. And who would get it? The man who paid for it, or the husband himself? So if they're willing to pay already, to pay out, invest that 50 out of the 200, and the husband would be willing to do the same, so we can take that money out and not consider that amount of money that the husband would be getting, that the Edom's owner would make him want to lose, and it's 150, that is considered the value of Kasher Zamam in such a case. Then the Mishnah says, what if Edom came and say, Me'idim Arubish Plonu Shechayv Lechaveru Elav Zuz, Abanas Litnam Lo Mikan Va'ad Shloshim Yom. Here you have Edom who came in and said, oh, we testify this person is chayv 1,000 zuz to his friend, that he owes him after 30 days. But who omer, and the lova says, I did borrow 1,000 zuz, but the deal was, mikan maser shanim, I had 10 years to pay back. So you're not going to say, we're speaking about 1,000 zuz. So let's say a person has an extra 10 years to hold on to this money, to potentially invest this money, instead of only having 30, he has an extra 9 years and 11 months he has left. So that's a big difference. To hold on to a loan for 10 years versus 30 days is a huge difference. So how do we evaluate it? But to say that, oh, they wanted to make this person lose out on 1,000 zuz, is not true. He's a lover. He borrowed 1,000 zuz and he owes the money. So what do they want to make him lose out by saying, you owe that 1,000 zuz after 30 days versus 10 years? So what we do is we appraise. Omdin, kama, so when, who omer mi kama se shonim, omdin, we evaluate. Kama adam rotze lite. How much money would a person be willing to pay so he could have 1,000 zuz in his hand for an extra 9 years and 11 months? Whatever that value is what the Edom pay as kasher zamam.